Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said other things may change us, but we start and end with family. We appreciate the opportunity of Bible study and the fact that you're listening to our Bible Meditations program. Let's return to our study of John 9, and we've made the observation that a man who was blind from the time of his birth now has been healed by the Lord, and now he realizes that the man who had healed him was one who was a worshiper of God and one who did his will. When he was asked by Jesus, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And his answer was, "I'm not sure even who he is. I need to know about him." And so Jesus then began explaining to him that he is indeed the Christ. And the Bible says, "The man who said, 'I believe,' also worshiped him." That is, he responded by his conduct. He believed in the Lord. You could tell it by what he did. Isn't that true in our world today? There are people who have become Christians who serve the Lord faithfully, and you can look at their lives and see a difference in their lives. Their lives tell a story. Their lives say, "I believe in Jesus. I believe in God." And certainly the right kind of life is the demonstration of our love for the Lord. Well, as that's the case, we pointed out the fact yesterday that if a person really loves the Lord, then you would be able to see it would be a futile thing for him to try to hide anything about his life from God. What could you hide from God? Is there anything you've ever done, anything you've ever said, anything that you have ever thought that you could say, "God didn't know about that"? Well, the Bible teaches that God knows everything. The Hebrew writer in the 4th chapter of the book of Hebrews, verses 11 and 12, explain this: "There is nothing hidden from God. All things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Friends, we don't hide anything from God. He knows everything in our lives. Well, if there's something amiss in my life, then what should I do about it? God's aware of it. What should I do about it? Ignore it? Will that take away the wrong that is committed by a person just by ignoring it? There are many people who do that. It reminds me of a commercial I saw a long time ago on television where the dog food was put out and some ducks were eating the dog food, and standing over them was a huge dog. And the little duck is saying, "What dog? I don't see any dog. Do you see any dog?" And that's the way people act in regard to sin. What sin? "I don't see any sin. Do you see any sin?" The sin is there. We fall short of the glory of God. Would it be wrong for us to say that every person who's old enough to understand the difference in right and wrong then becomes responsible before God for his conduct? Well, I think that's a just statement. Indeed, we are held responsible for our conduct. No wonder then, Paul explains, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Well, how will we take care of that sin? I like the statement of the psalmist when in Psalms 32, he points out the fact that his sins he acknowledged. He took care of his sin. Now, how do you do it? By acknowledging your sin and submitting to the will of God, not by hiding it, but rather by making this right before God. I look at the statement that John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. John said, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us of all sin. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now remember, the passage we're looking at is a passage written to those who are children of God. When the Bible explains that a person is guilty of sin and recognizes it, if that person has never been born into the family of God, here's what he's told to do. They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Acts 2:37. Verse 38, "Repent and be baptized." And look at this significant statement, "every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." All need to submit to the will of God. What is his will? That you repent and be baptized. Now, repentance means you change your mind in regard to sin. You no longer want to be a part of that. You want to get that out of your life, so you repent and you are baptized in order to obtain remission of past sins. Notice that the word "and" joins together repentance and baptism. The two are joined together. Which one is essential? Well, it's obvious to anybody who thinks about it, they're both essential. Both of them bear the same weight of authority, and both of them are requirements by our Lord. A person who says, "I'll repent, but I won't be baptized," is not going to obtain the salvation that is promised when we submit to those commandments. When a person says, "Well, I'll be baptized, but I'm not going to repent of my sins," well, that person will not obtain forgiveness. The sin is still there because they have not repented or turned away from sin. So a person then who is not a Christian, who has never been born into God's family, needs to submit to these instructions. Believe and be baptized. Friends, do you wonder sometimes why the book of Acts has been written? The book of Acts is a book of conversions. It tells us how that people who, when they realized they were guilty of sin, dealt with that problem. Did they deal with it by ignoring it? Did they deal with it by saying, "Well, I'll sweep it under the rug and maybe sometime in the future I'll give attention to it"? No, that's not the way it was done. The people on Pentecost repented and were baptized. What about the people in Acts 3? These people also were told to repent and be converted, that their sins be blotted out, and that they receive seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. They had the same instruction as the people did on the day of Pentecost. Then when you come to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, there was a man named Simon who was a sorcerer. He spent his time deceiving people by his action, by his conduct. But the record says when this man realized that he had something else to do, verse 13 says that this man, because he realized what he was doing, he believed and he was baptized. Now, he believed in Christ, he was baptized. Isn't that what the Lord said has to be done in Mark 16:15-16? "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Yes, it's the same instruction. So this man named Simon himself believed and was baptized. Then as you continue in the 8th chapter, you'll read about a man reading from the Bible, the Old Testament, and in particular the book of Isaiah. And as he read from that book, he wanted to know who the man was talking about. And so a preacher joined himself to the chariot, and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, believing in Jesus, they come to a certain water. The eunuch says, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" He's told, "If you believe, you may." And the Bible says they commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. What did the man want? He wanted forgiveness. What was he told to do? He was told to be baptized. And so he submitted to that command. If he believed, he was told he could be baptized, and that's exactly what he did. Therefore, the man rejoiced at the salvation that he had obtained. Friends, the plan of salvation, the way of salvation, is so easy to understand. Why would it be so confusing to some people today? Well, perhaps it's because some preachers have not left it alone, like the Bible teaches, and they've come up with their own theory. We appreciate being with you today. Remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.